10:09 here at 84 WHAS. I am Paul Harris, filling in for Francine on this Christmas week. Hope you're doing well and were able to get a lot of your shopping done this weekend. Some retailers are a little bit worried because of the snowstorm that blanketed so much of the East Coast, keeping people away from the stores. Well, a lot of cyber shopping numbers were way up this weekend. And UPS, as you heard, predicting that today will be their biggest shipping day of the year because people are desperate to get those gifts there in time for Thursday night to get them under the tree. One of the people who was caught in the snowstorm this weekend in the Washington, D.C. area is my next guest. Her name is Marthina Cowart. She's the Director of Communications for the Project on Government Oversight, a group that I became familiar with a few months ago when they exposed the story of some private contractors in Kabul, Afghanistan, who were helping to guard the United States Embassy, but were also acting like drunken frat boys in their time off. Pictures of them having all sorts of shenanigans, including nudity and drinking and on and on and on, were exposed to the world, and it caused a real uproar. And I've asked Marthina to come on and talk a little bit about that and also some other issues that POGO has been covering this year. Hi, Marthina. First of all, how much snow did you get at your place?
Well, we had quite a lot of snow out here. I live near Annapolis. We had over 2 feet, and the winds accompanying that snow had caused snowdrifts. So some places in my backyard are pretty deep. Washington got away with about a foot, but the federal government is closed today, but POGO is on the job.
Well, that's good to hear. And for a lot of Americans, the federal government being closed today is a really good thing.
Well, I don't think we would agree with that. We're all about good government, and I know you are, Paul, too. The Kabul security guard scandal was a huge story for us. We focus, as you know, on the federal government here in the United States, but that's a situation brought together two interests of ours in one. We were contacted by some of the guards through a whistleblower advocacy colleague of ours here in Washington, and the security guards, it was a private security guard firm, were very concerned that real danger was being caused to the embassy officials and the Afghan nationals working at the embassy. And from the beginning, we were very worried about the impact of those salacious photos, which, of course, on the one hand, would confirm all the terrible things that were going on. On the other hand, would obscure what POGO was really concerned about, and that was an inherently government, what we felt was an inherently government function being conducted by contractors that were not receiving any oversight at all from the State Department.
Yeah, to me, this is one of the underreported stories of our wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. The fact that not only are we using private contractors to do the jobs that the United States military has traditionally and still should be carrying out, but the fact that the United States government and the Congress in particular, which is supposed to be keeping an eye on what these contractors are doing for the dollars, hasn't been doing that very well, have they?
No, they have not. In fact, I'm looking on our website, www.pogo.org. We sent a letter to Congress in May. This was months before the Kabul crazy stuff. And we signed a letter with a coalition of watchdog organizations pointing out to Congress that contract spending had was eclipsing at $440 billion. And I think I read in the paper a couple of days ago that contractors are already, there are more contractors already in Afghanistan are expected to be in the next few months than soldiers on the ground.
Yeah.
So it's a problem because starting in, and this is a bipartisan problem that started back in the Clinton administration, where in the name of good government, they were trying to shrink the federal footprint and outsource what they could. The later administrations kind of ran that idea in the ground, and we believe that the reason for outsourcing everything in the federal government is something that needs more examination, and we're working on it.
And Marthina, has the outsourcing of our military saved us any money?
Even people at the Pentagon have questioned that, and the Obama administration actually has asked all the federal agencies to do a review, and they're supposed to report in a few months on federal contracting and whether or not it actually saves money. It has always been a question mark in my mind. I was at the State Department during the Clinton administration, and I was surprised to learn that the State Department, as other federal agencies did, often had other companies come in and review contracts. In that same, over the last 15, 20 years, as the federal government, in some areas, the federal government, the contracting oversight offices have been decimated. So, happily, the Obama administration is trying to reverse that trend.
I just want to have one more point about this story out of Kabul before we talk more in general about federal contracting and other issues that you cover. You know, you're right that there hasn't been congressional oversight, but the problem for me with the way these contractors were acting in Kabul was that they were really endangering lives by giving Afghanis and others the absolutely wrong image of the United States in a part of the world, with strict religious morals that sometimes are in conflict with the freedoms that we love here in the United States. Our representatives there, whether they are employed as members of the United States military or as private contractors, have to live up to a standard that we show the world what America really should be like, not what we're like at our drunken and most debauch.
I couldn't agree more. We are there, as you think, hopefully, the highest standards of citizenship and performance. And in a Muslim country, to tolerate this is just outrageous, absolutely outrageous. And by the way, that camp where the private security guards worked was only a few miles, 2-3 miles at best from the embassy grounds. And what our investigation found was that the State Department had known about this and were concerned in the parlance of the State Department about the camp, but rarely did anybody from the embassy ever, you know, get in a car and drive over there to see what was going on.
Yeah.
That, I'm happy to report, has now changed. They have regular State Department personnel that from the diplomatic security on duty 24/7. So, finally.
Yeah, finally. Yeah, it's nice to know that it only took a while for them to notice. And it, by the way, took pictures, because I know your group, the Project on Government Oversight, has been talking about exactly this matter for quite a while. It's nice that Congress finally lifted an eyebrow and lifted themselves out of their chairs to do something about it. I've got to take a quick break here, Martina. When I come back, I want to talk about wasteful spending at the Pentagon and other issues that you've been covering at POGO this year. So stand by for a moment as the Francine Show continues. I'm Paul Harris on 84 WHAS. 33 degrees now in Louisville. This is the Francine Show. I'm Paul Harris filling in and talking with Martina Coward, who's the Director of Communications for the Project on Government Oversight. We were talking in the last segment about federal contractors working for the United States military, essentially outsourcing some of the jobs that our soldiers used to do. And while we're talking about Pentagon-related things, Martina, tell me if the Pentagon has gotten any better about spending money this year.
Well, actually, they have. This year, POGO was part of an effort to finally cancel the F-22 Raptor. This was a plane that was developed during the Soviet Union years, when we were worried about the Soviet Union bombing us. And this was a plane that was extremely troubled from the beginning and was so delicate that it spent most of 50% of its time in the hangar for maintenance. It could only fly under certain, you know, very moderate weather conditions, which made it totally useless. from an accounting office, two or three defense secretaries, the Congressional Research Service, and folks like Pogo, and Secretary Gates and President Obama, and I believe President Bush tried to defund this turkey. It finally happened this summer, and thanks to Senator McCain and others, it was finally brought to a halt.
Is the problem with projects like that, like the F-22, that you've got powerful members of Congress, both in the Senate and in the Congress, who want to try to protect jobs at their federal contractors, whether it's Boeing or McDonnell Douglas or somebody else, and essentially they want the plane built, whether it works or not, because then they can go home and say, look, I saved 600 jobs.
And support the troops, there's always that. And in good times, that's an argument that has been made in the past, and one that Pogo can certainly take agree with. But we're fighting two wars here, and the federal budget is out of control, and we've had challenges thanks to the financial meltdown that we need to address. And there's a current, the C-17 is another program. Of course, you know, the Defense Department is very clever. Over the years, the Pentagon has carefully built parts of these things all over the country in different congressional districts. And so congressmen, like you said, will say, well, we need jobs. And of course we need jobs. But in the case of the C-17, a $2.5 billion airplane that Congress is trying to push down the throats of the Department of Defense, is money is having to be taken away. Desperately needed support for troops in Afghanistan, and we've written a letter to the Congress asking to please reallocate this $2.5 billion to enhance safety and effectiveness for the special forces in Afghanistan and Pakistan, who don't need a C-17. They have other operational maintenance needs, and they need helicopters.
Yeah, and when it comes to the Pentagon saying we don't want it and congressmen forcing it down their throats, that's nothing more than pork. And when it comes to supporting the troops, give them the stuff that they do need, not the stuff that they don't need. That would
absolutely
be support.
Absolutely. And these systems often take years to build. So meanwhile, our men and women overseas are suffering. We saw some of that, too much of that during Iraq, where they didn't have enough night goggles. The Humvees weren't protected. It just goes on and on and on. So,
talking with Martina Coward, who is the Director of Communications for the Project on Government Oversight. We've been talking about financial matters for 2 years now, as this recession has taken hold and hung on, and we hope that in 2010 things will turn around a little bit. But how has the government done in Pogo's eyes when it comes to finance?
We stuck our toe in the financial waters late last fall in the waning months of the Bush administration. Regulatory reform came to our attention when we saw that then Secretary Paulson was mounting these enormous programs totally out of the public eye. So from the perspective of secrecy and unnecessary opaqueness on the federal government's part, Pogo stepped up and criticized Secretary Paulson and the Bush administration at that time for that secrecy. Since then, we are continue to examine and monitor the various regulatory reforms we think are necessary, again, with the interest of openness and transparency in government. The Obama administration, to its credit, has turned the ship of state, so to speak, in the direction of openness and transparency, and they're working hard to do what they can to post more information, all information, critical data online. And in this day and age, there's no reason why the federal government couldn't have total public access to the information and thereby help their congressmen make better decisions.
Well, I know that the general public isn't going to read most of that stuff, which is
no,
why...
No.
But that's why I'm glad we have groups like Pogo, which actually will go through that sort of stuff and say, hold on just a second here, this doesn't look right, or these numbers are wrong, or this is pork, or this is something that you're funding, but you're not conducting any oversight of. And hopefully in 2010, we'll be able to get more of that transparency, so groups like yours can keep looking under the hood and seeing what government is doing right and wrong.
And
thank you for that.
And why keep hiring federal contractors who continue to commit waste, fraud, and abuse in their contracts? I would ask anyone interested, and I hope everyone's interested, go to www.pogo.org and look at our federal contractor misconduct database. And you have to ask yourself, when you look at the top 100 contractors in that list, why would you continue to hire a company that has amassed millions and millions in fines over and over?
And so, still pay them off. It's remarkable. Martina, thank you for your work. Thanks.
You're very welcome.